Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Tet. And we're holding on daf Samach Chet, Omud Beit. And we're getting back now to the Mishnah. We just finished this very exciting discussion of the inyanim of the mitzvah to eat on Yantiv, into the big machlokas about whether it's lachem or lashem means chetzilachem, chetzilashem, or whether it means you have a choice of either kulo lachem or kulo lashem, and the special dinim that apply to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, which brings us back to our Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we were up to three lines up from the bottom. Remember that the Mishnah had this rather interesting conversation between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda. What exactly, and we'll get to the Rabbi Akiva part, what exactly is the relationship about between the Hechsher Mitzvah, where we're talking about something which is an Isser Darabonah, and the Shaila was, we said, the way that we had finished off before, we said that according to Rabbi Yoshua, he holds that the same way that the Korban Pesach is a mitzvah, there's also a mitzvah to eat on Yontif. And since that's the case, and we see that when it comes to the mitzvah to eat on Yontif, that nonetheless, you're not allowed to do anything other than the Shechita, but you're certainly not allowed to do something that could have been done before Yontif, and even if it's only a Darabanan. So why isn't that true, Lagabi the Korban Pesach as well, says he to Rabbi Eliezer. And what makes you say that because there's a Kal V'chomer that you can do the Shechita, the Pesach, that therefore you should be able to do things that are actually not part of the Iker Mitzvah? Maybe you can't. Okay, so we got into the machlokas about whether it is a mitzvah or not, and that's how we got into the whole discussion about whether there's a din of a mitzvah to eat on Yom Tov or not. Rav Ashi says all of this is a mistake, because there's no need to make the machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer regarding whether there's a mitzvah or not to eat on Yom Tov. That's not the point. The issue is that even if you agree with Rabbi Eliezer and that there's no mitzvah to eat on Yom Tov, and that if you want to, you'd be able to sit and learn all day long, there still is a way for Rabbi Yoshua to show him that he's wrong and that it is not really a proper Kal V'chomer. Let me show you, because if that's the case, then we don't have to make this dependent on that machlokas. Because L'mayde kam Rabbi Eliezer nami, even according to Rabbi Eliezer Shita, that Yom Tov, the Achila, is a Rishus, there is still a big problem, according to Rabbi Yoshua, with Rabbi Eliezer's Kal V'chomer, which is not a Kal V'chomer. Because, look, here's the way that Rabbi Yoshua would point it. Let's look at it like this. Yom Tov, the halacha is that even a melacha, according to you, for the purpose of a reshus, right? Because, I mean, you said that you're allowed to do a shechita on Yom Tov, even though you don't really have to eat on Yom Tov, right? But the Torah said, okay, we're going to be so makel, we're going to allow you to be over on Issa D'oraisa in case you want to eat, even though you don't have to eat, right? So nonetheless, even with all of that kula, were we matir a shvus that's connected to it if it could be done before Yom Tov? No. Well, so then if that's the case, on a Shabbos where the only thing that we were matir for you is for a malacha shel mitzvah, so then for sure we're not going to be matir a shvus that's ima that could have been done before Shabbos, right? So when he is saying it's true, even according to Rabbi Eliezer Shita, he said, look, according to me, the whole discussion is absurd. I mean, there isn't even a mitzvah. Fine. There's even, both of them are a mitzvah. According to you, hold, there isn't a mitzvah. I still have the point to you. Therefore, you're claiming that, well, certainly if we're going to be matir shechita, we can certainly be matir the shvusha ima. I still can show you it doesn't necessarily hold any kind of logical grip on me and Rebbe Eliezer. Well, obviously, Rebbe Eliezer will say to you, oh, come on, man. I mean, bottom line is that you're comparing a shvus of a mitzvah to something which is definitely not a mitzvah, okay? I feel that the very fact that it's a mitzvah, and that what you're saying is not a Kal V'chomer, because a shvus of a mitzvah is to me much more meaningful than a shvus which is just a rishus. So I'm telling you that because of that yontev where it's all a rishus. Okay, so then the shvus over there, they were gozer on because they're not going to be mevater on it. But when it comes to the inyan to be deicha, a shvus from the rabbanon because you need to be mekayim a mitzvah, you think the rabbanon are going to be maimed their divrayim that you shouldn't be able to be mekayim your mitzvah? Ridiculous. I say that there's no gezerah on a shvus if it's going to end up wrecking a mitzvah. You can't bring me, I don't care all the logic in the world, you can't bring me a raya ultimately to compare whether the rabbanon were gozer in a mokum of kula or a mokum of chumra. That's not the point. I'm saying there never goes on a shvus shal mitzvah. That's all I'm saying. You can't show me that that isn't true, okay? Tanya. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so then we had a further communication that we weren't privy to in the Mishnah. And there it sort of expands on the conversation between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. So Tanya, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, why would I possibly, I mean, Mali, why should I be deicha and allowing you to do what you need to do on the case of makshirei mitzvah over here for the Shabbos? Because im dachu makshirei mitzvah shala achar shchitas haShabbos. Listen, I just take a minute to think this out in your brain, and you'll see that I'm right. Because if lamaisa, the Torah is allowing to do mitzvahs that are not necessary, the makshirei mitzvah. Now, what could that mean? Rashi says, well, that's a reference to michui kravav. You need to wash out the intestines. You don't need to wash out the intestines. And if you don't wash out the intestines, so the carbon's going to be ruined. Tosfos says that. He doesn't like that pshat because washing out the intestines is part of the covenant of the carbon. So that's no taina. But what he's talking about over here, says Tosfos, is makshirin such as is bringing the emurim. Is that important? Sure, it's important. Does it need to be done on Shabbos? No, it doesn't need to be done on Shabbos. You can do it after Shabbos. Okay, but do you do it tonight? Is there a difference between makshirin you could have done Erev Shabbos or makshirin you could do after Shabbos? No, same idea. So basically, are you not agreed that makshirin that are not necessary and could have been done after Shabbos, they're going to be docha Shabbos anyway. You just talked about it. Oh, look how wonderful mitzvahs b'shaita. Didn't you give me a whole conversation and a musar about that, right? Okay, so then it's the same thing. The idea over there is, what you're telling me is, that there is a kal v'chomer from that. And I say, no, 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 there is no kal v'chomer from that. Because that's true, that makshirei mitzvah that come after shchita are docha Pesach. But you know why? That's because these aved lei mitzvah, that's where the mitzvah was already been done, right? And nonetheless, listen to this. The mitzvah was done. You were mekayim the mitzvah. I'm going to allow you nonetheless to do isurim. And over here, the mitzvah wasn't done. If I don't do it, I'm not going to be able to do the mitzvah. So what are you telling me? This you're telling me I should tell somebody not to bring a Korban Pesach if after he brought the Korban Pesach, he would be allowed to even bring the Emurim. So what's wrong with you? Says Rabbi Akiva. Wait a minute. The reason that you're allowed to bring the Emurim afterwards or to be washing out the intestines, according to Rashi, you know why? That's because it's a Makshirei Mitzvah where we were already doing a Shabbos. So in other words, once we did the Maisa of Shechita, and that means we were already Deicha Shabbos. Okay, so then finish up. Do what you need to do. That means Harei Dachta Shechitata Shabbos already. So now you're saying, and therefore, where we don't need to be Deicha Shabbos at all, we should be Deicha Shabbos in order to be Deicha Shabbos. Deicha Shabbos with the Makshirin in order to be Deicha Shabbos with the Shechita. This follows to you? Im dochu makshiri mitzvah shal achar shchita za Shabbos, that's because we were doicha shchita already, and the shchita needs to be done and was done. Therefore, you're going to now argue from that I should use makshiri mitzvah, which have not yet taken place to shchita. This is before the shchita, and what am I going to say? When the shchita in this case was not doicha Shabbos yet, shalo dochta shchita za Shabbat. I'm telling you that you cannot do those makshirin, says Rabbi Akiva. And there's no comparison to the fact that you'll be able to do the Michui Kravav or you'll be able to do the Aktoras Emurim afterwards. Not to mention the fact, says Rabbi Akiva, that I think it's also very reasonable. There's no comparison between the two. I'll tell you what. What if you would go ahead and you would do this makshirin, and then you'd come to do your Karban Pesach, and now it would turn out that your Karban Pesach was a treifa. You know, what are you going to do? So then it turns out that you're mechalel Shabbos l'mafreya. So, I mean, you don't know that you need to do this. Says Gemara, it's ridiculous. Then you shouldn't be able to do the Shechita either. And nobody's going to tell me you're not allowed to do the Shechita, because maybe if you do the Shechita, then you'll find out that the Korban is treifa, and then you turned out to be mechalel Shabbos, and you have to do your mitzvah. So, I mean, the fact that when it comes to the Makshirei mitzvah, note the logic. Obviously, Rabbi Akiva is not an idiot. The logic is still there. When it comes to the act of Shechita, I must do the Shechita. That's my mitzvah, obviously, right? If it turns out to be a treifa, so what can I do? But I did what I needed to do. But the only reason that I'm doing the Makshirei mitzvah is because I need to actually, in the end, be Mekayim, the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, and it's so Chomer, like we said, the chorus of the Kal v'Chomer. I mean, how do you know you're going to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Pesach, huh? How do you know? So the only taina against that is that ultimately I don't need to know. Because in the same way that I can do the Shechita, because I do what I have to do in order to have a Korban Pesach. So the same thing is true of the Makshirin. You need to do what you got to do in order to do the Shechita to have the Korban. But it's exactly the same argument. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, see that inside. If that's the case, Mishkat Nami Lo Shochet, so then you shouldn't do the Shechita either. Maybe your Korban Pesach will turn out to be Pesach. And it turns out you're Mechal Shabbos L'mafreya. So that's no good. So he wasn't able, Rabbi Akiva wasn't able to persuade anybody with that argument. So must be that this wasn't an afterthought. Like the way we said it in the Mishnah is not to mention the fact that, right? No, it's not about not to mention the fact that. The truth is that initially Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Eliezer that don't you need to worry about the question of whether the carbon is going to be possible. Then when Rabbi Eliezer told him, no, of course I don't, because I'm still going to do the Shechita, even if the carbon may turn out to be possible. So then Rabbi Akiva came and told him the other point that he had, that there's no comparison of a case where the Shechita was already done and therefore Shabbos was nidche, and the case where I didn't actually do a Shechita, Shabbos wasn't nidche yet. Therefore, there's differences between Makshirei Mitzvah before, says Rabbi Akiva, and Makshirei Mitzvah, which are done subsequently, says Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so now we have a rather subtle machlokas going on over here, and all of which is based on what turns out to be a misapprehension. And that is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, we would do whatever would be necessary. And this is a fantastic new insight that we're about to get, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, we would do whatever is necessary as Makshirei Mitzvah on Shabbos in order to be able to get the Korban Pesach done properly. And it was because of that that the Mishnah continued on going, where Rabbi Akiva said, so what about Hazoya? Now remember, this is a very delicate part of the Mishnah coming up. The next thing that comes up, la, my dearest, the next thing that comes up is that Rabbi Akiva says, so how come Hazoya is different? Says Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Akiva, what's wrong with you? It isn't different. Obviously, it's not different. I'm arguing with you about the Hazoya too. Didn't I say that anything that needs to be done shall be done? Now, does the Hazoya need to be done? Yes. So what are you telling me? Because of this silly gzeira that you have, that, I don't know, it looks like it's tikkun gavra, or maybe it's because you're going to carry it, arba amos b'rishus harabim, and we're going to discuss that coming up. So because of that, I shouldn't bring a Korban Pesach. Obviously, I argue with you about the Hazoya. Now Rabbi Akiva turns around and says something that sounds literally like the words of a maniac. Because Rabbi Akiva turns around and tells Rabbi Eliezer, so maybe we should look at it the other way. Maybe we should say that since I know, me, big heap, Rabbi Akiva, who's your Talmud, since I know that Hazoya definitely is not Deicha, so then maybe we shouldn't even allow a person to do Shechita on Shabbos. To which so obviously Rabbi Eliezer responds to him and says, you know, you want me to call the men in the white suits? I mean, are you crazy? What do you mean? mean we should learn out from your Svar of Hazoya to be doka the pasuk that says b'moado and bring it on Shabbos? You've lost your head. Now, obviously, Rabbi Akiva did not lose his head. Something was going on over here. And the fact is that the way that Rabbi Akiva spoke was, on the surface, very chutzpahic. Because basically, what was Rabbi Akiva saying? Look, you are so wrong that, if anything, we should argue the other way. It's a given that Hazoya is not Docha Shabbos, you idiot. So then, would you say we should even make a raya according to your logic that we shouldn't be able to do the shkita either? That's how sure I am that you're wrong. Oh my God. How do you speak like that to Rabbi Eliezer? So something is going on over here, and we're now about to see that conversation. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva said, Hazaat Tochiach. And Rabbi Eliezer says, well, I'm arguing with you about the Hazoya too, silly. So let's take a look at the interaction between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Tanya, in a braita, it says that Rabbi Eliezer was so insulted by the way that Rabbi Akiva had spoken to him, which was outrageous on the surface, that he said to him, Akiva, you want to talk to me with chutzpah about shechita? They should shecht you. Which, of course, is what happened to him. So, b'shechita tehimitato, you should die b'shechita. Don't have an easy death. Oh, my Lord, so Rabbi Akiva said to him, Rabbi, please, don't deny the truth while we're having a machlokas. That's simple meaning. Obviously, the Ramazim over here about Midas Adin and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva's Shita about Midas Adin and so on, but those are Ramazim. Al tachbireni b'sha'at adin. If we are arguing, it's not the time for you to deny what it is that you yourself said. Kach mekublani mimcha. Why do you think I'm telling you that I'm so right? Because you said so. That's the point. You told me that even though Hazoya is a Shavuos, it is not Docha Shabbos. You said that yourself. So now, therefore, all I was trying to do was to remind you. What do you mean? I mean, if Rabbi Eliezer had said that, so then Rabbi Akiva should say to him, Rabbeinu limadatenu, you know? So, my time will come out. I understand. So, did he now change his mind? I mean, why is he arguing? So, first of all, what's going on over here? He shouldn't be arguing anyway if he himself holds that. Omar Ula, there's a confusion over here. There are two different cases about Hazoya. And basically, Rabbi Akiva misunderstood what he was taught and was comparing something that Rabbi Eliezer himself would not have compared. So he uses Rabbi Eliezer against him in a way that was inappropriate, because actually what Rabbi Eliezer had told Rabbi Akiva, it's true. He told him that Hazoya is not Docha Shabbos, but he wasn't talking about Hazoya for Korban Pesach. He was talking about a Kohen who needed to do Hazoya in order to eat Truma on Shabbos. Okay. And he said to him, since taking off Truma itself is not Docha Shabbos, neither is the Hazoya. That's not considered to be a mitzvah that's going to be Docha Shabbos. And the truth is, Rabbi Akiva knew that. And Rabbi Akiva was asking from the Hazoya about Truma, because even though it is a mitzvah to eat Truma, nonetheless, it's a shvust, not the issur to do the Hazoya. And Rabbi, you yourself told me that. Now, Rabbi Eliezer misunderstood Rabbi Akiva. He thought he was asking him from the Hazoya of Pesach, which would have been a ridiculous way to talk. So, but he never changed his mind. No. Says Rabbi, please. That's wrong. Okay. First of all, let me prove to you that it's wrong. All right. Take a look at this braisa. You'll see very clearly that we are, don't give me this bull. We're talking about Truma. We're talking about Pesach. Listen to the braisa. Okay. Masiv Rabbi. Hey, Shiv Rabbi Akiva v'amar. Here it says, Beferish, in the Braita, Rabbi Akiva said, Hazayat tamei metochiach. Look at the next words. Nothing about Truma, man. Shechal shvi shelo liot b'shabbat erev Pesach. He's not talking about Truma. He's talking about Hazoya in order to bring a carbon Pesach. And that proves that I'm right. It's a mitzvah, and it's Mishum Shvuz, and it's not Docha Shabbos, meaning even according to you. And in fact, it was Hazor Pesach Hagbri. It's clear that Rabbi Eliezer was not talking about this Ula's case. He's making that up. He's talking about Hazoya Pesach. He's not talking about Hazoya of Truma. And then we're back to the question, if that's how he taught him, then why is he suddenly arguing and claiming that I would argue with you even on Hazoya? And that explains the whole conversation. Reb Eliezer was old, and he had forgotten that that's what he had taught him. And Rabbi Akiva felt that it would be insulting to him, as if implying that you're senile, you don't remember what you taught me, so he didn't want to tell him. But Rebbe, you yourself taught me otherwise, that would have been very embarrassing. Oh, gosh, yeah, gee, my mind's not working anymore, right? So because of that, Rabbi Akiva said something that sounds insane, hoping that Rabbi Eliezer would say, listen, Akiva's not crazy, what's he trying to tell me? Oh, right. I was the one that taught him that. Ooh, great. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Akiva was hoping. Unfortunately, it boomeranged. It did not work very well. So because of that, let's see the steps to get to that in the Gemara. So Rabbi Eliezer, Gemara Yisakarle, he forgot. And Rabbi Akiva was trying to get him to remember. So why doesn't he just tell him? No, what do you mean? Because he felt it would be insulting. It would be a lack of derech eretz to tell him that, you know, you don't remember what you taught me. So he assumed that Rabbi Eliezer would figure out what it is that he meant. Okay. So now we got to the bottom of the discussion in the Mishnah. Now the question is, why indeed is, according to Rabbi Eliezer seems here to be inconsistent. I thought Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Makshirim Ardocha Shabbos. Why all of a sudden would he say, well, not Hazoya? Why is Hazoya different than anything else? So Hazoya, my time in Lodache Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva is making a very powerful point. I mean, if Lamaisa, Rabbi Eliezer agrees that Hazoya is not Doicha, so then apparently his whole Shita falls apart, right? I mean, Mirti, look, I mean, what's the problem? The problem is that, I mean, it's a muktzah, or it's something that's usher to do because you're being mitaken, as Rashi says. You're being mitaken, the person, so we don't allow you to do anything that is an act of tikkunei gavra, sort of like fixing a kli on Shabbos. I mean, it's just tiltu b'alma. So why wouldn't it be docher Shabbos in order to bring the Pesach? Why over here is he suddenly say you can't do that? Oh, my Rabbi, I'll tell you why. Because it's a gzeira, Shema Yitlena Yaviren Arba Amot Brishut HaRabim. We're worried that you're going to carry it for four Amas in Rishus HaRabim. So carry it. I don't understand. According to Rebbe Eliezer, I thought Rebbe Eliezer, didn't we have back in Masechet Shabbos that if you don't have a knife to do a milah with, you could carry it on Shabbos because it's Makshiri Mitzvah. So that means if you need to, you could even carry it on Shabbos. So how can you make a gzeira? We're worried you're going to carry it on Shabbos. You'd be allowed to carry it on Shabbos. I thought Rabbi Eliezer holds that according to him, Makshiri Mitzvah are dochenas on Shabbos. So what would be the problem? And here we come to the crux of the issue. Now, gentlemen, this is a complicated daf. I agree because of the complexity of the Shakla Vatarya. But essentially, we are dealing with very straightforward issues, which are about to get even more complex because of the interrelated nature of these issues. But because this is not just about the Shakla Vatarya of this daf, what we're about to get into is the deep and foundational relationship of the Yochid's Korban Pesach to the Tzibur's Korban Pesach. And remember, the Korban Pesach is an absolutely unique Korban. Because on the one hand, it is brought by every individual. And on the other hand, it has the characteristics of a Korban Tzibur, even though there is no Tzibur, right? Now, that's an amazing kind of thing. And remember, there was no Tzibur at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Tzibur is created out of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which means that what's happening over here in the Dinim of Korban Pesach is that we have always a reconstruction of that liminal moment, which is literally liminal in terms of the dam being on the limon, right? It's right there on your door, and you're putting it on the mezuzahs and so on. So we have a reliving of that moment in which the aggregate Yisrael acts as a tzibur, without having any manifestation of its tziburiness. Usually we have a manifestation. So we have a melech, and we have a Beis HaMikdash, and we have a bezdin that's in that Beis HaMikdash, and we have an av bezdin, and so on and so forth. They make the decisions. We have one particular carbon that's brought for all of us, and that note how profound it is that the entire discussion in the Gemara begins, the dinim of carbon Pesach as a carbon begin with what? Tamid nishchat. What does that have to do with anything? It has everything to do with it. Because in the same way that we saw that the interrelationship of Moado, when it's brought for carbon tzibur, brought for the Pesach as a sort of type of carbon tzibur, but we never figured out how it is that the carbon tzibur has different dinim for the yechidim than it would for the tzibur as an aggregate. And that is where we can find the subtleties. And where is that? Very simple. Normally, when a tzibur is tamei, then you bring the carbon tzibur, betuma, one. There's no option to say, okay, well, we don't want to bring our carbon tzibur, betuma, because we're all tahar. So we're going to go out and build a different Beis HaMikdash and build the right kind of carbon tzibur today. There's no such thing, obviously. It'd be crazy to say that. But that's exactly what we do say when it comes to the dinim of the carbon Pesach, which is weird. So there, we actually have two completely different hanagas. If it's the aggregate, how do we measure the aggregate? With the rov. So if most of the people are tamei, then we bring it betuma. But if not, then we don't say, okay, well, we don't bring it, which is what we would say with a carbon tamid. Well, we don't say that. We say, whoever can bring it, go bring your own carbon, and everybody else will still bring their carbon, but a month later. I bring a carbon a month later. That is because of the uniqueness of the carbon Pesach. Now, that uniqueness is what we've been talking about, the difference between anashim that are tameim lenefesh adam and ish. Okay, so now we're talking about exactly this point, and here is where it becomes critical in understanding what it was that Reb Eliezer holds. Reb Eliezer holds that if someone needs to do a makshirei mitzvah in order to be able to do that mitzvah, then he can and is mechuyev to do that makshirei mitzvah. But things are a little different when it comes to the Korban Pesach, aren't they? Because over there the Torah gives you alternatives. So now the question is, okay, do you have an alternative and therefore you're not really chayev in this mitzvah? Or do you have no alternative? So this is where we get into Amri. When do we say that Aliba de Rabbi Yeshua, Makshirei mitzvah are dochin es HaShabbos? That's where you are chayev to do that mitzvah. Now you are currently chayev. Let me ask you a question. Suppose a guy cannot fast. He has trouble fasting. Now, if he takes certain medications and injections before Yom Kippur, he would be able to fast on Yom Kippur. Let's say if he goes, maybe go into the hospital and start getting an infusion, okay? So is he mechuyev to go and get an infusion in order to be able to help him fast on Yom Kippur? Well, the question is, besides the issues of whether doing things that are not part of normal human activities or chiyuv b'chlal, but let's pretend that he's got a certain food that he can eat before Yom Kippur that enables him to fast. That way we avoid the other question of whether medical intervention is justifiable. This is a serious question. Am I mechuyev to do that or not? What would that revolve around? Whether there's a chiyuv to do something for a mitzvah because I know that it's coming up, even though I currently do not have that mitzvah. I mean, that's a big question. Look, I could say, I know there's going to be a mitzvah tomorrow to fast, but that mitzvah is currently not binding on me in any way. It's just, I know it's going to happen. Now, when it happens, and it's Yom Kippur, and I find I can't fast, so then I'm anonymous, and I can't be mekayim that mitzvah, right? Or do we say that doesn't make any difference whether you're currently chayiv in the mitzvah or whether you know that you need to do this in order to make yourself chayiv in the mitzvah. You need to do what needs to be done in order to be able to be mekayim your mitzvah. Now, that is what the issue revolves around over here. In this case, says the Gemara, it's nothing like the other case. When Reb Eliezer de Mila, what he's talking about over there is, you've got a kid that needs to get a brit milah today. And you have that chiyuv to do that today, now. Okay, can you carry the knife in order to be able to do that? Says Reb Eliezer, well, makshiri mitzvah dochanas shabbos. Yes, carry the knife. Okay, but in this case, what are we going to say? That you yourself, currently, you are roid to bring a korban pesach? No, I'm not. I'm tamei. In order for me to become tohar, I would first have to do the hazoya, and then I would become chayev. But I'm currently not chayev. That's the question. So since over here, the gavra gufe lo chazi, lo rami chiyuvi ale. Currently, he is not suitable to do the mitzvah and therefore does not have the chiyuv of the mitzvah. And Reb Eliezer never said, you are mechuyev to do what you need to do in order to make yourself chayev in the mitzvah. He only said, if you're already chayev in the mitzvah, then we're deicha and you're able to do whatever needs to be done in order to be mekayim the mitzvah. Now, those are two completely different issues. And therefore, do not argue from one to the other. Even Reb Eliezer agrees that in the case of Hazoya, we've got a problem. And what's the problem? The shvus. What's the shvus? Now, here's another very important point. This is Nogea Kolatara Kula, this question. In the Mishnah, Rashi says the problem of the Hazoya, we see this in so many places, is that it's similar to Tikkun Mona. So if we're going to make this person tahar by doing hazaya, so then it's literally the same thing as fixing a kli. Okay, so fine, I understand it's a extension to Rabbanah. Now all of a sudden comes along the Gemara and says, well, no, there's a big problem. The problem is maybe he'll carry arba amis b'shus harabim, and that's what we're talking about, right? Now I don't understand why all of a sudden is there a new svara that it's Arbamis Burjus Harabim. So from here, and from the sugya that we had earlier, where the Gemara itself is mechalek, remember, between Gezeris de Rabbanan that are Gezeris of doing things kila achri yad. That was the case of carrying the sakin between the horns of the goat and so on, right? And this Gemara, where obviously we always knew that there was a shvus with Hazoya. So what is the big chiddush Rav is coming up with now? Oh, he may carry arba amis b'shus harabim. I understand. But you're telling me that there's two reasons for the gezerah. Therefore, what's more chomer gezerah? Because there's two reasons for the gezerah. What is the meaning of this? So basically, what you see from here is that there are different dargas. This is the Avnei Nezer's Medayik. There are different dargas of takonas de rabbanon. They are not all the same. You can't just throw out the word shvus and say it's always the same. And of course we know that, because we were talking about the levels of shvus in the Mikdash, that sometimes we are goes to shvus, sometimes we're not goes to shvus. What is that? What does it mean, sometimes? So really what we need to do is carefully calibrate a hierarchy of shvus. There's clearly a difference between the vague similarity of Tikkun Gavra to Tikkun Mana and the actual chashash that a person will come to be over on an iser, which are already over there, that's begetter mishmeret. It's a completely different idea. You may come to actual chilul Shabbos. That, says Rav, is a completely different level of shvus. We were talking about before, it doesn't look like you're keeping Shabbos. Okay, fine. No. So because of that, I'm not going to bring a korban pesach. That's called a shvus kal. But here, where it can actually bring you to chilul Shabbos, then that's a more korban shvus. That's the given over here, the Gemara seems to be taken for granted. And it's because of that, there's no contradiction in the Rashi who explained the din of Hazoya in the Mishnah being because of Tikkun Gavra. And here, where the Gemara says Beferish, that no, that's not our concern. Our concern is carrying in the Rishus HaRabim, you see. Otherwise, it's very confusing. Like, what changed all of a sudden? Okay, so now that we understand that, it's considered not to be Rami Chiyuvale. And based on this, says Rabbah, we need to reconsider everything that we always thought about Reb Eliezer de Mila. because Reb Eliezer de Mila was only talking about cases where the kid was definitely ro'i now to get a bris mila. And then the question is, can you carry the knife? But let's say that the kid is sick and you need, in order to be able to give him a bris mila, you need to inject him with something that will allow his dam to coagulate so he won't die from the mila. You don't do that on Shabbos. Why? Because he's currently not roy for the bris mila. That's the point. And I can extend that, says Rabba, to something much less dramatic than hemophilia. Because remember, in their times, we've spoken about this in Shabbos in the Perek Reb Eliezer de Mila. In their times, they believed that if you did not wash the patient in hot water before the operation, that the operation was dangerous. Now, it happens to be obviously that that's true because of the possibility of contaminating the wound. So it made a heck of a lot of sense at that time. Obviously, now you take a little bit of alcohol and you're fine. You achieve the same thing. So we don't do that. Okay, but bismanehem, if you didn't have hot water, so you couldn't do a bris mila because it was dangerous, right? Okay, so therefore, comes along Robin, he says, okay, so like this, according to Reb Eliezer, if a child is currently well, right, so then you'd be allowed, if you didn't heat up water before Shabbos, you would be allowed to heat up the water in order to prepare him and make him even stronger to do the mila on Shabbos. But that's because he can be Nemo now in his current state of health. The Hachazile. Now, this is absolutely true in terms of the way we just explained it, because the water isn't coming to make the child healthier. The water is coming to prevent infection, which would have come from doing the mila. So Rabba is 100% right. The Gemara doesn't realize that and will say not like Rabba. But the fact is, if this is how it works, then Rabba knows exactly what he's talking about. But if the child is sick, and now you need to allow him to recover from his illness by keeping him in a warm room with hot water, and he needs to inhale steam and whatever. You can't do that. You can't get him better from a current illness because in his current state, you cannot give him a bris mila, and therefore he's not chayiv in a bris mila. And that's a very valid differentiation, right? The halo chazilei. Now, Rava, who doesn't realize the brilliance of what Rava is actually pointing out, because he thought that it's because it's literally lahavroto. So now it's not because to avoid infection, but it's because you're strengthening him to be able to meet the mila. So what's the difference, says Rava to Rava? If this kid is so healthy, how come we're giving him hot water bath? And how come we can do that on Shabbos? So obviously he's not healthy, right? I mean, not healthy enough to get the bris mila. Therefore, says Rava, what's the difference? When it comes to getting a bris mila, everybody's considered to be unhealthy. They need the hot water. So therefore, the truth is, I don't care how healthy it is, you cannot heat hot water because essentially, vis-a-vis getting a brit milah, he's not healthy. And therefore, ein mechamin lo chamin lahavroto lumalot, because he's currently not roy for that brit. Okay. Anyway, now let us get back to what it is that we just said. Why does Reb Eliezer aser the hazoya? Says Abaye, that doesn't make sense. To say that because the guy is currently not ro'ui, that because of that, we're going to aser hazoya. I mean, isn't it exactly the same situation as somebody who is currently an orel? Okay? So you're saying, okay, he's currently an orel. He could actually get a brit mila today. But why should he get a brit mila? He's currently not chayev because he's an orel. And an oral doesn't have to bring a carbon pesach. So therefore, he should not be mechuyev to get a brit mila today, right? And yet, we find that Reb Eliezer says exactly the opposite. Reb Eliezer says that if a guy is an oral, and he could have been nemo, now according to Rashi, this means between the time of the chalot ha-mitzvah on Erev Pesach, meaning from 6 hours in the day. There was enough time for him to get a brit mila and then to bring his carbon Pesach. And he doesn't do that, then he is going to be chayev karet for missing his carbon Pesach. Okay, so, if Reb Eliezer says that, How can you be mechayev a guy karet for something that he isn't chayev to do? That's crazy. So obviously he is chayev to do it. And we don't say, well, I mean, he's currently not roy to bring a korban Pesach, so how can we be mechayev him just because he didn't make himself roy? It's the same logic, okay? And nonetheless, Rebbe Eliezer is saying he's chayev karas. That makes no sense. You can't be chayev karas for something you're not chayev in. By the same token, not doing hazoya is the same thing as not doing a brit milah. So ahacha de gavra gufe lo chasi, because he's an orel, and yet it says he's an onish karet. So you see that obviously he is considered to be chayev, because he concurrently basically addresses arelut, and then he's mechuyev to address his arelut by getting a bris milah. So then the same thing is true of Hazaya. He needs to address the fact that he's tamei, and he needs to therefore go ahead and do the Hazaya. Now comes the complex interrelationship between the Yochid and the Tzibur. There is no din of bringing a Korban Pesach when everyone is an Oro. Doesn't matter what as a matter of fact, the original Korban Pesach was not brought despite the fact that everyone was an Oro. Everybody needed to get a Brit Milah, and that was the Mitboseset B'damayach that we talk about, right? Dam Milah and Dam Pesach. So that means that there does not exist an interrelationship between Tzibur and Yochid that is at all complex when it comes to Arelut. That's not the case when it comes to Tumah. And therefore, if, says Rabbah, you will follow my logic carefully, then I'm going to show you a very surprising result of algorithms that if you just follow the algorithm, you will see a very surprising result that you never expected to see, okay? So let's take it step by step and you'll see exactly what I mean. Our first question is, if a guy is currently tummy, can he send his Korban Pesach to be brought by a shliach? That's your first question. If he can, then he is currently considered to be chayev in the Korban. Well, my first assertion, point A, is that Rebbe Eliezer says if the guy is currently tamei, he cannot send a Korban either. He's unable to bring his Korban Pesach, and therefore he is going to be put off till Pesach Sheni, and that's it. There's nothing for him to do. I mean, he could, right? But if he goes to the mikveh and he gets himself Torah, that's something else. But currently, he is not considered to be chayev because he can't send it now in his current state. Now, let's take item B, and then I'll show you how they all add up, okay? Item B is like this. Since the Torah interrelates the dinim of the shechita of a yochid betumah to the dinim of the shechita of the tzibur betumah, then that means that it's creating an equation which leads us to the following conclusion. Anything which, in the case of the yochid, would mean that he would have to go and wait until Pesach Sheni, the din is that the tzibur is allowed to ignore that and does it b'Pesach Rishon. Okay? Now, if that's the case, the next thing that we have to know is that the further implication, and here's where it's going to lead us to a strange conclusion, the further implication of the interrelationship of the individual and the tzibur is that anything which affects the tzibur affects the yochid, but anything which would not affect the tzibur will not affect the yochid, meaning if, in fact, let's take it step by step. If we talked about the yochid not being chayev to send his korban because he cannot send his korban, okay? Therefore, I am telling you that if this guy is currently tamei, he is not chayev in a korban Pesach. His current state does not allow him to bring a korban Pesach. Fine. Now, obviously, that's true about arelut as well. Okay, I understand. Set that to the side and follow my equation and you'll see why it's not the same. Even though on the surface it's exactly the same. Getting the Brit Milah is exactly the same as the Hazaya. I'm going to show you that it's not the same. And here's the point. Since there is no chiyuv of on a person who is tamei, maybe if he's a tamei mace on the last day of the seven, and he would be able to become tahor today because this is his last day, shlishi v'shvi, be able to get hazoya, right? That's the case we're talking about, okay? Or if he's even just a plain old tamei sheretz and he needs to go to the mikveh, he didn't go to the mikveh. He can't send his korban pesach. So what would be the din? Since he is currently not ro'ui, so memela, he is going to make it on the second Pesach, right? How about an oral? Now, an oral is currently not ro'ui, and the din over there is that nonetheless, there is, I'm claiming, a chiyuv, and that's the reason Reb Eliezer says he's chayav kares, and that's the reason that he will have to get himself a brit milah. And here's the reason why. Because there's no comparison between the chiyuv of hazoya of a tamei to the chiyuv of the oral for someone who is a bris milah for someone who is an oral. Because does a tzibur need to become tahor in order to bring their korban pesach? No. Because since the klal is that if a yachid would bring his korban on Pesach Sheni, and that's the case here, where this Yochid, who will not get Hazoya, will bring his Korban on Pesach Sheni. In that case, if everyone was in this situation, what would they do? Would they say, oh my God, we're all Tamei, we better get a lot of Paradumas in here and get ourselves Tahar? Or could they say, listen, we're at Tzibur, we're not Yechidim, and as at Tzibur, we can bring a Betuma. Well, they have every right to say, as a tzibur, we could bring it betuma, and therefore, we do not have to get hazaya. Oh, now let's take the next case, which then follows from the third point that I made. Since the halacha is that, as we're saying, that the yochid himself, we would not do shchita or zrika of a korban pesach if he's tamei, he would go to Pesach Sheni, then the same thing follows that the tzibur but Dafka is able, if they feel like it, and they don't have a korban available, it's too much money to get, whatever it is, they can go right ahead and bring the korban now. But once that's true, since the Torah interrelated the ish, to tell me ish nidcha, and not the tzibur nidachin, then that would mean there is no chiyav of hazoya on the tzibur, correct? But then it also follows that if there's no chiyuv on the tzibur, there's no chiyuv on the yochid either. He'll just be nidcha l'Pesach Sheni, because the two are exactly the same. Remember, and this is how Rashi puts it, the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach was made on both the yechidim qua yechidim and on the tzibur as a whole. There are no two different mitzvahs of Korban Pesach. All of Yisrael is exactly the same. It's absurd for you to say that the tzibur does not have to go ahead and get hazoya, but a yochid does. That's ridiculous. There's only one din of a korban pesach. So if I've proven to you that the tzibur does not need to get hazoya, then that means that the yochid does not need to get hazoya. Now, suppose the tzibur is arelim. Do they all need to get a brit milah? Absolutely. That's exactly what happened in Pesach Mitzrayim. So if the tzibur needs to be going ahead and getting everybody a brit milah, then obviously every yachid would have to get a brit milah. Then that means that by definition, he is chayav in that korban pesach. That's the difference. So Reb Eliezer is considering the need for hazoya to be on a person who is not chayav, because the tzibur isn't chayav. Masha Enkein, the need for a brit milah is absolute a chiyuv, because the tzibur has that chiyuv. And therefore, you're comparing apples and oranges. And therefore, there's absolutely no problem with Reb Eliezer's sheet. It's completely consistent, even with this Bryce of Aurelius. Brilliant. Okay. So let's just see that inside. So call Milton, but it's meanwhile, the profound clarity of the interrelationship of the various dinim is just so beautiful. It's such a It's so refreshing to be able to see exactly what's going on here and how the interrelationship is so perfect. So therefore, The deal is, says Rava, kol milta de'ita b'tzibur, ita b'yachid. You can't have something that doesn't apply to a tzibur that applies only to a yachid. That's silly. So arelut, in the event that kulei tzibur would be areli ninu, we would tell every last person, you better get up and get yourself a brit mila today and make your karban pesach. Okay, so then that's exactly what we say to the yachid nami. Amrino, you get up and get yourself a brit mila, bring your karban pesach, and if not, pow, you're going to be chayiv kares. So tuma. However, where if the entire tzibur tameim ninu, what would we say to them? You better go and get yourself paraduma. No, lo madinu nalayu, nothing, no problem. They would just go right ahead and avdi betuma. So then that means obviously that the yochid is not mechuyev more than a tzibur is, and therefore the yochid is currently potter. And since he's potter, Rebbe Eliezer says, "Well, I never said you're going to be doicha machshiri mitzvah as a Shabbos for somebody who's any chayev in the mitzvah. That's the point." Hey, he says in front of Rav Yeshua to Rava, that's insane. Then there should not be a mitzvah of Karban Pesach Sheni. A tzibur doesn't have a Pesach Sheni, so how could a yochid have a Pesach Sheni? What's all this philosophy about there's only one mitzvah of Karban Pesach? Oh, yeah? It's pretty clear that there ain't no one mitzvah of Karban Pesach, because then Pesach Sheni should not exist according to that theory. That explain that. So, lete b'tzibur v'ite b'yachid, a brilliant question. Says Rav, no, it's not the same. Of course there's a din of Pesach Sheni on a tzibur. In what sense? In the sense that there would not be a Pesach Sheni if the Karban Pesach Rishon had not already been brought by the tzibur. That's the point. So, in the case, well, obviously the tzibur was already Yotzer the Chiyuv. Shani atam da avdilei tziburi berishon. Let's imagine a case where the tzibur could not have done it berishon. Huh? What would be the din? Then enochinami. No yochid would bring a carbon pesach sheni either. So if we had a situation where rov of the tzibur, let's say we're zovin, we're over there, they cannot bring the pesach rishon, then there would not be a din of pesach sheni on yochidim either. Perfect. Okay, so that makes perfectly good sense so far. Meisvet. As the Gemara, Yocho lo ye onushkaras ella shahaya tahor v'shelo haya b'derech rechoka. Okay, the pasuk says beferish that mi shahaya b'derech rechoka. He brings Pesach Sheni. But the guy who was not tameh, he was tar, and he was not b'derech rechoka, and he could have brought that karma Pesach v'nichreta, right? Now, the only cases mentioned in the Torah are the cases of somebody who's tor and not b'derech rechoka. Okay, how about if he's an oral? How about if he's a tamei sheretz or shar kol ha-tameim? So, I mean, how do we know that even he would also be chayev, and he would be chayev koras, even though it doesn't say so in the pasuk beferish, minayin? Talmud lomer v'ha'ish. So that extra vav tells me that even somebody who was not bringing the Karban Pesach because he was a Tamei Sheretz, he also is going to be Chayiv. Now, can I ask you something? Do we need a special Pasuk for somebody? I mean, we're looking for a special Pasuk, V'ha'ish, right? So, Midikom Ahadra, Tamei Sheretz. We're looking for a special Chiyav of Karis for somebody who's Tamei Sheretz. And therefore, obviously, Kasavar, ain't shochti mezorkin atomei sheretz. Okay, exactly like Rebbe Eliezer, because, I mean, ain't shochti mezorkin atomei sheretz. If the din is that someone who was just a tomei sheretz, or a tomei meis b'shvi yishalo, he could simply ask somebody else, do me a favor, bring my Karban Pesach in for me. If he could actually do that, so then he's tahor. Right? I mean, it makes no difference. Okay, so why don't you say somebody who had to run to the emergency room to get stitches, how do we know that he, I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't understand. I mean, he's the same as anybody else. So ask somebody else to go and bring the Karban Pesach. Well, you have to run and get the Karban Pesach. You'll eat the Karban Pesach tonight. So I don't get, so obviously we're talking about a case where the guy cannot bring a Karban Pesach. Why? Because the Braita believes that if you're currently Tameh, there's nothing for you to do. You can't send in your Karban Pesach. Because if you could, then you're just the same as anybody other person who's Tahar. I know Tahar. So if we need a special Pasuk, we're not talking about the guy that's Tahar. But what do we see? We see that even though he cannot bring his Karban Pesach, it says that you're Chayav Karetz. Not like you said. And he is considered to be chayev, even though the tzibur is not. So that shows that Rabbah is completely wrong. So now we're back to where we started from. Then why does Rebbe Eliezer say that Hazoya is not Docha Shabbos? Obviously, for not going to the mikveh, even though Ein Shochtim Vezorkin, Al Tameh Sheretz, you're still considered to be Chayev. And you're still going to be Chayev Koras if you don't go ahead and become Tor. Elo Amar Rava, I totally disagree with Rabbah. I see just the opposite. Rebbe Eliezer holds, we are Shochtim Vezorkin Al Tameh Sheretz. And because of that, the guy is Chayev, okay? So now you'll say, if he is Chayev, why doesn't he have to get Hazaya? Because Hu Adin LaTamei Meis B'Shvi Yishalo. Because he doesn't need it, darn it. That's why. Why does he need it? By the very token of his being allowed to send the Korban Pesach by asking somebody to bring it for him, so then fine, let him ask somebody. You're saying, yeah, but I mean, he's not going to be able to eat it. Okay, so he won't be able to eat it. Big deal. Because the only need for Hazor is for what? For Achila? The Achila is not Ma'akev, the Korban Pesach. Says Ravada Bar Avila Rava, what are you talking about? I thought we had a million sugars before. You can't bring a Korban Pesach if it's for somebody who's not going to be able to eat it. So then you can't bring the Korban Pesach. You drive me nuts. So then Imke Nimtza Pesach Nishchat Shalola Ochlav. Oh, says Rava. Shalola Ochlav doesn't mean somebody who's got a problem. Namely, that he wasn't Tohar because he never got to the mikveh in time or didn't get his Bar Aduma. Shalolo Ochlav means people who cannot eat, not who have some problem in front of them that prevents them from eating. So it's talking about someone who's ill, someone who's too old to eat a kezias. This guy, he can eat up a ton. Problem is he didn't go to the mikveh. Okay, fine. So tikunu delo mitaken. That doesn't change anything. And therefore, I say that in this case, the only reason you don't do Hazoya is the exact opposite reason that Rabbah said. You don't do Hazoya because you don't need to do Hazoya. Because you can be Sholeach your Korban Pesach without doing Hazoya. That's the point. The Achila is not Ma'akev. Do you give me Rishus to get up to the Mishnah, even though it's over? This is like a really foundational daf. Okay, thanks. So, Kalal Amar Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so we'll continue on. Rabbi Akiva himself said, I knew that Ira was going to bug out. Yeah, he never gives me permission. What can you do? Kalal Amar Rabbi Akiva. So, any melacha that you could have done before Shabbos is not mutter to do on Shabbos. Only shechita, which you couldn't have done before Shabbos, is mutter to do on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yonamarav, that's how we paskin. Hey, we already did that, didn't we? We had exactly the same discussion in the Perek Rebbe Eliezer de Mila, and Rebbe Akiva said the same thing over there. Kalal Om Rebbe Akiva. Komal Akash, word for word. Komal Akash of Shalas Sota, Me'erev Shabbat, Eino Dochata Shabbat, but only the Mila itself, She'i of Shalas Sota, Me'erev Shabbat, is Dochanetz of Shabbat. And yet what? Rebbe Yehuda Amarav says the same thing over there too. Om Rebbe Yehuda Amarav, yep, Halok Rebbe Akiva. Why do I need two separate dinim over here to paskin like Rebbe Akiva? Because I need both of them. Rav had to paskin like Rabbi Akiva here, Benogea Korban Pesach, and needed to paskin like him there, Benogea Mila. Why? Because the Yashmina Gabi Pesach, I would have said, okay, the reason that over there we paskin, that Makshirin Mitzvah that could have been done before, are not going to be Docha Shabbos, is because Pesach is a nice mitzvah, I understand, but it is not anywhere near as foundational as Mila is. And the proof is clear. Mila is the nichritu alea shlosh esrei britot. I mean, there's more britot on Mila than there are on Kol HaTorah Kula. That's why we light the 13 candles at a brit Mila and so on, right? So the idea over there is that maybe there the Rabbanan should say, listen, it's crazy. You certainly can't be maimed. And maybe even the Torah. It's a question, are we talking about a Sfar of the Rabbanon? Are we talking about a Sfar of the Araisa? Tosef speaks about, okay, so I would say it would be Daichad Bechshirin. The Iyash Mu'inan, on the other hand, so Rav has to tell us, no, it doesn't matter, even if it's different. And if we would have only known the Machlokas about Mila, I would have said, okay, that's because there is no immediate kores, you can always do the Brit Milah after Shabbos. So if you missed out on bringing the knife, so fine. So you'll do the Milah Shelo Bizmanu, and then we'll take away the kores. Mashenkin of Pesach, where there is kores, maybe it would be Deicha, even the Makshire Mitzvah for the Shita. Therefore, Tzricha. Okay, whew, what a daf. Amazing, amazing. One of these crazy, unexpected results. It's beautiful, right? I mean, normally you get that kind of thing, yeah, when you're doing math, you're doing physics. How the heck did that equation end up saying something so insane as E equals MC squared? I mean, then what? Or we were talking about Euler's equation, which Meir Simcha had written up, which is like insane. How could there possibly be a relationship between rates of change and imaginary numbers and logarithm? What? It doesn't make any sense. It's like staggering. It just somehow or other, if you follow the logic through, that's what it's saying. And the world is a much stranger place than you thought. That is exactly what Rava is pointing out happened over here today by just following the logic through. That sounds wild.